Hey, welcome, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio's episode 469. Now, I attended the ASA's TTF, the Technology and Telematics Forum in Detroit, September 2019, and I sat with two of your industry's colleagues for a brain drain on this conference. Get ready to get your geek on.
The other thing, too, I have to add, which I thought was fascinating, was the level of testing regarding what could be a lot of noise and cybersecurity.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriotto here, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy. Remarkable Results Radio. So proud to partner with Napa Auto Care in the 2020 Napa Expo. Now join Napa, including suppliers, industry experts, and your peers in Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th, 2020. It's where you'll discover the latest news and industry information. Contact your Napa store for details on how to enroll. Hey, I'm glad you're part of the ecosystem with my insider newsletter and your free listening subscription app. We are generating the voices, insights, and ideas that are shaping the future of the aftermarket. My website has every link and connection to keep you in the know, remarkableresults.biz. Hey, we headed over to Bill Nalu's Interstate Auto Care in Madison Heights, Michigan, and dragged Frank Lloyds from Desert Car Care in Chandler, Arizona, to do a brain dump on the Technology and Telematics Forum from ASA. I promise right now transformational information that you'll need to know and also want to know. You know, the more you know, the better decisions you'll make in steering the strategy of your business. It just makes sense. Better yet, the knowledge will keep you on your tech edge. Now, we heard topics ranging from the psychological effect of autonomous vehicles, simulated augmented reality testing, and specific strategies from Ford and GM. We also learned about the work of Deborah Bezina, the managing director of the Center for Connected and Automated Transportation, University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute. And trust me, you'll want to hear about what Deborah is working on. Now find the talking points and my guests' bios at remarkableresults.biz/E469. Now my big takeaway is the discussion of balancing cybersecurity and access to data. As I said earlier, get ready, get your geek on. Hey, a warm welcome. I don't even know if it's a warm welcome because it's, I'm in Detroit.
Detroit, it's warm.
It starts to snow here
65.
Any day now.
Go Tigers.
Yeah. Hey, I am with two great friends of the podcast and actual great friends. It's Bill Nalu from Interstate Auto Care here in Madison Heights, Michigan. Hey, Bill.
Hey, everybody.
We're in Bill's beautiful, unbelievable, beautiful lobby of his great, great business. I finally had my first official tour. Beautiful place.
It was an honor to have you guys here.
Yeah, great. And the reason that I'm here in Detroit is we attended, there's a whole bunch of us that attended the ASA Technology and Telematics Forum. Also with us on mic number two is Frank Lloyds from Desert Car Care and Wrench Nation. Hey, Frank.
Great to be here. Bill, your place is amazing. I remember coming out here when you were kind of remodeling and I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
And now I come into your Taj Mahal.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I'm impressed, and man. Good job.
We're still working on it. You know, it's always a perpetual thing.
Always a working process. And of course, Frank, Wrench Nation, fellow podcaster in the industry. You know, you've got this beautiful niche. Actually, it's a nationwide podcast where you broadcast all thing cars.
We do. I mean, I think we're taking folks more of an automotive journey with the likes of Wayne Carini, NHRA drivers and such. And so our goal is, to highlight the good works and tell the story.
Well, good. Hey, thanks for getting together with me and doing a recap, if you will, on TTF, they call it, Technology and Telematics Forum. I was pretty damn impressed with what was going on with the panel. And I want to cover some of these things, and I want to get your reaction. First up yesterday, that was hanging out with our legislative assistant, Bob Redding, was Deborah Bezina. And she said some things that really kind of blew me away, that in Ann Arbor, there's 2,500 vehicles in autonomy testing. Is autonomy here or not? we've got a lot of room to learn and to test software and to write code. And she works for CCAT, the Center for Connected and Automated Transmissions. She talked a little bit about vehicle communications, a little bit about 5G, CV to X. She talked about the 50 state laws. I mean, if you weren't there, you missed all this great stuff. And so I'm hoping that we can do justice. But guys, she said something yesterday. She said it was an idea. We get around and we have these brainstorming sessions like these skunk work things. And she says, remote control. And everybody in the room looked at each other and said, where's this going? You remember what she said?
Well, I was thinking the whole time, that's Area 51 of autonomous. I mean, that's the secret, like you said, skunk work type projects. It's amazing that all of this that we really don't know. We hear bits and pieces. We're not sure who's taking care of, you know, testing, all these things. And here's this M city with all this vibrant testing going on to prove that this stuff could work. And I didn't want to, you know, I called my wife. I said, you know, honey, I've got to go to this M city. I'm not coming back.
You'll get a geek overload.
A geek overload. Yeah, yes, yeah. Sir. Absolutely.
As I always look through this stuff, even though, you know, we can geek out on the tech stuff, I look at it and I go, and you know, is there anything different other than the fact that the most complicated, the most important piece of consumer product in the universe is becoming more complicated. And it is up to us to market the ever-increasing cost to us and why that cost has to be exponentially higher to the marketplace, because we haven't kept up with the cost of doing business over the years. And that's why we're in the position that we're in. What is it? What was it? 40% of technicians are over 50 years old. They're phasing out. We have no way to replace these folks.
You know, what we need to do, guys, is we need to tell our audience what she meant by remote control. And when she explained it, I my mouth was sitting there open, because, you know, when you think about autonomous cars, they're going to drive themselves. But her whole idea was, could we get vehicles through an intersection by remote control? Now, you'd think the autonomous thing would have done it, but she says, we're jammed up on the highway. There's construction everywhere. Well, the future tech takes over the cars, and they just, you're at a red light, you're 10 cars back, and you have to wait like 12 seconds for anybody to go. Frank, you were in the military when they said march, everybody's foot went out at once, you see, and you, no one lagged behind. And that's kind of what remote control reminded me of.
Definitely. But, you know, throughout the whole thing, I was thinking to myself, the psychological behavior of, you know, sort of transitioning, allowing machine to take over. And, you know, remote control would add to that. I mean, it's a different variant to it. But I thought to myself, just like, Bill, if you were walking the intersection and I was in an autonomous vehicle, and naturally as a pedestrian, you kind of give that visual eye-to-eye look and, I, you know, say, hey, are you stopped? You know, it's just that psychological thing. And I look at you, or actually, there's no one there, right? So I'm curious to, I would like to learn more about the psychological behavior of what they're testing. You know, we're testing hardware, we're testing software, we're testing all of these things. But what's the psychological effect? Maybe we're overthinking it that way. Maybe our kids who will be full autonomous will be like, hey, Dad, you know what? You're crazy. I'm not driving.
Hey, Dad, I'm in remote control all the time. I love this stuff.
The other thing, too, I have to add, which I thought was fascinating, was the level of testing regarding what could be a lot of noise and cybersecurity, right? So there's a lot of security testing to make sure the systems are robust, they're protected. It was also mentioned, I thought this was pretty cool, the duct tape factor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for LiDAR.
Yeah. Right.
Masking tape on LiDAR.
So here we are, engineers, we're sophisticated, we're knowledgeable, we've got all this power behind machine and software. And they did a test, and I guess they said, well, wait a minute, somebody can walk the parking lot.
Along comes the janitor, says, hey, have you guys thought about this?
Let's put duct tape on the LiDAR.
I'm really pissed. That guy in the office the other day looked at me wrong, so I'm going to put some masking tape on his LiDAR, and they said that the car won't start.
I'm thinking autonomous vehicle, electric, autonomous, remote control. Duct tape will still be around.
Yeah, we'll still have it. One other great thing, Bill, is she talked about augmented reality in testing the software. And she says, we could put one car on the test track, throw this augmented reality software at it,
And it would, and it imagines there's 100 vehicles on the road with it.
Yeah, it's like,
come on.
Can't even, we need to do a road trip.
You know, gamers got to be excited. All the gaming community right now, you know, they've got to be excited about this technology because it's like one big game.
We also, she also talked about, she believes that we'll all have access to the data. So, you know, even though we've got this big initiative going on. And one of the other things she talked about is DSRC, the Dedicated Short Range Communications. That's currently, it's been around for a lot of years. It's ready to go. But the new stuff is CV2X, which is, C stands for communications, vehicle to X. And she says it's 5G. By the time it all gets built up and gets built out, DSRC should be the solution that they start implementing. And I think she said that the GM calls it Super Cruise, and Tesla has Autopilot, and it's using DSRC stuff right now. So there's that stuff is out there. And then, Frank, you moderated a panel that was called What's at Stake for Me with These New Technologies. That was kind of interesting.
Well, there's a lot of nerves in the industry right now. I mean, there's a lot of us that, let's face it, this technology is coming so fast and furious. We're getting tidbits here and there. We don't know the truth, honestly. What's the truth mean to our operations, how we move forward? Like, what do we do? My biggest thing on the panel was to sort of humbly suggest our thinking in the lines of remote-aided programming, the RAP systems, because I honestly feel mechanics, technicians are overloaded. Now we've got 100 million lines in F-150. So I'm not saying that technicians shouldn't be able to figure things out on their own. But I mean, if you look at BMW, I think BMW has virtual assistants, the goggles they're testing with, they're using, to where a technician will actually have help fixing the vehicle. I think that's a transition for our industry because
I mean, it's robotic surgery. They've been doing it in the medical industry for years.
Why not? We're overloaded, and I think we're going to burn. I mean, we've already got this shortage, right, where we're having a tough time. Do we burn out what's left? We need help.
The fact that we've got supply and demand, that is the law of gravity when it comes to the economy, right? And so if you have an ever-shortening supply of talent, what does that do to the demand at that point? I got to believe the demand goes up because I think a lot of shop owners, a lot of technicians are concerned about the fact that, you know, there's going to be less vehicles on the road, but those vehicles are going to be running 5-6 times the amount of mileage that they're running now. And so why wouldn't that be a benefit to society and to the industry as a whole? If we have less traffic congestion, if we have vehicles communicating with each other, smarter vehicles, smarter traffic steering of the vehicles that are on the road. I don't know how that isn't a win-win for everybody. As long as we put on the smart hats and understand sort of how we market our services going forward.
Yeah,
I think we're in a perfect position.
I think more or less like what's really in front of us. I think some of the industry has said, well, wait a minute, autonomous, all these things, these vehicle to vehicle. Well, I think you have the average service operator, average mechanic that's saying, hey, What do I need to tool up just like in the next 3 to 5 years? I mean, we all want to look future. Currently, what do we buy for ADAS? Like how do we set up our places for that? Some of our garages that are listening right now, they may see one ADAS situation and then it's worthy to sublet that out. But obviously that's going to change over the next, I would say, 24, 36 months. We're going to see an uptick in that. So like, what do we have to tool up with? I mean,
it's a great point. And by the way, those are the folks that are fresh off of just purchasing that YF machine, right?
Right. And complaining about $600 for 10 pounds.
You know, now what I do with it? Nobody wants to pay $400, $500 for an AC.
I love it. Robust dialogue, guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Carm here. Today, I have a special message for Napa Auto Care Centers who are looking to take the next step in growing their business and partnership. Now, if you're ready to strive and take it to the next level, Napa invites you to consider Gold Certification. Gold Certification is a premier tier of Napa Auto Care that recognizes repair shops with a higher level of participation in the Auto Care program. The program was built by Auto Care Centers for Auto Care Centers to provide a consistent consumer experience, maximize technology leverage, and reward Napa's most committed partners. When consumers visit a Gold Certified Auto Care Center, whether it's a small facility in a rural community or a multi-bay shop in a large metropolitan area, they can expect a first-class service repair experience. This includes a well-trained staff using today's technology and quality NAPA parts in a comfortable, up-to-date facility. Customers at Gold Certified Shops will also enjoy an extended parts and labor warranty, valuable saving opportunities, along with access to credit to pay for needed repairs, and a whole lot more. Here's what you need to qualify for the program. First, you need to be an active auto care partner for at least 12 months and have a steady business presence in your market for at least 2 years. Then to become Gold Certified, it's necessary to meet specific requirements, chosen because they create the most consistent consumer experience and proven to generate the most significant results for auto care centers across the country. Some of these include using digital vehicle inspection, having at least one ASE Master Certified Technician, a co-branded exterior, and offer consumer financing through NAPA Easy Pay. You must also be an active member of a business development group. Once your shop achieves Gold certification, you'll receive a number of benefits, including priority placement on NAPA's shop locator pages, an allowance for marketing funds, 3636 peace of mind and local labor coverage, access to auto tech training, NAPA Trax shop management system, smart sign digital menu board, and more. Talk with your servicing NAPA store to find out everything you need to know about becoming a Gold certified shop.
On your panel was a guy named Dave Johnson, Director of Global Service Engineering Operations for Ford Customer Service Division. And he said, okay, guys, AVs won't be cheap. Their uptime will need to be 24 hours. And then he says, in 4 years, this was really profound. They may be in the crusher.
Absolutely, because of the mileage put on, and it's just sort of like a Tupperware. You use it for a little bit, then... You know, after so many microwave issues with Tupperware, it's time to throw it out. So it's going to be dispensed. We're going to throw these things away. One of the things, though, I thought was interesting with Dave Johnson, and I was looking for cues from the OEs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have a mentality of partnering with the aftermarket. They really do. I believe that.
I heard that
from Dave Johnson, as well as our GM, Vice President of Global Security, Jeff Massimia. I'm going to screw the name up, Massimia. So my point was, when I came to this event, and here we are knowing that, okay, we've got some OEs in here. Here's the aftermarket. Of course, we had the Auto Alliance sponsoring the whole deal, which was awesome for ASA.
Yeah.
There was a collaboration and not, we'll get back to you on it.
Yeah. Dave was one of my favorites, and because he reaffirmed what I know to be a fact, and that is that we understand that, you know, we service 7 out of 10 vehicles out there. And why it is that some of the OEMs think that by locking our information, ability to be able to get information out, that somehow they're going to sell more vehicles, they are sadly mistaken.
No one there said that this was going to happen. Yeah. Everybody, even in the, that worked for the OEs, knows. I mean, why would they be doing this for the independent aftermarket if this was a dead issue? Yeah. Don't you think the corporate strategy says never go out and speak about this? So, Frank, Jeff Massimia, the VP of Global Security at GM, says GM's strategy is future zero congestion, zero emissions, and zero crashes. And he was really big in the cybersecurity thing. And he said, hey, we need you aftermarket guys here. Bill brings up one of the best points that I've heard you say over and over and over again. If you want our customers, 70% of the aftermarket, to buy your vehicle, don't lock me out. Let me continue to encourage the customer to go back to your dealership and buy your vehicles.
Because while the dealer might have their ear, if it's a Chevy or a Ford or a Chrysler, we on average have the Ford and the Chevy and the Chrysler, all those vehicles under that roof, coming into us on a regular basis. So if you need me to service those vehicles and you bring in a vehicle or you're thinking about buying a vehicle and we're doing a pre-purchase inspection and I can't get into some of those systems, the first thing I tell that customer is, I just want you to know the limitations that we have and the costs that are associated with it when you've got to take it to the dealership and they're the only game in town.
And here's a quote from him. He said, working hand in hand with service industry for the benefit of the customer was an important priority. And so that everyone appreciates where GM is going, a pillar to their zero congestion, zero emissions, and zero crashes, the pillar to this vision, he says, is in cybersecurity, is customer safety and privacy, anti-theft and anti-tampering, and preventing unauthorized software and counterfeit parts. You know, we're ready. We've got the talent to be certified, to prove to the world that we can do this job. I don't see this going into the DIYer's hands.
Carm, you know what I hear him say? What he's saying is we want to let you in all the way. We want you to be involved as far as we can law the dealer. We just need you guys to get your act straight. And what I'm hearing him say is we as an industry need to get together with those that can help us enforce regulatory pressure on market forces that don't allow us to be able to do the jobs that we need to do properly. And so if it means that locking out the Craigslist mechanic on the road, that maybe it's a matter of us sitting down. Maybe it's the ASA and ASE coming up with a national standard, national certification process and saying, this is what we call a technician that can work on a hybrid vehicle. This is what we call a technician that is able to get into the data stream of this vehicle. Somebody who does not have Microsoft certifications doesn't get into this part nor that part. And I think if we embrace that, if we lead the charge, if we're sitting at the table and we're the ones having this conversation, we're the ones leading this conversation, we're the experts, we're the ones that should be heading this. Instead, we're sort of waiting there, reacting to what comes down from Mount High in DC.
This is my fear, right? So we, as an industry, we have some say, but the money, the power behind the money, the lobbyists amongst the app economy. So I'm not knocking Turo. Turo was in-house.
Oh, they were.
Invited guest. You can, Turo, you can order a car of your flavor. You can get whatever you like from a Volkswagen to, you know, a high-end Audi. So one of the questions that came up is like, okay, in Airbnb, you know, there isn't a mediator to make sure that the dang house is clean after you're done, right? There isn't an industry that's monitoring that where these vehicles need to be safety inspected, right, like Uber and Lyft. And if we're going to be involved in the conversations, there's two things. We should have a say in what the inspection looks like. And I'm sorry, we need to charge and not be cut off at the knees to really do anything for free. Mm-hmm. So Turo was great. Again, I'm not knocking Turo, but I got a little goosebumps because I thought to myself, here's an attorney, here's a lobbyist, here's an individual that's going to power through DC by way of what they want to make a profit. And that's respectable. But Bill, when you talk about, well, we're the experts and we run the show. And the thing is, like, how do we play well with the money, the power behind what's moving, Ubers, the Lyfts, the Turos?
I think it's a PR. It's a PR issue. And that is that we reach out to the motoring public and we say, the reason that this is different from Airbnb is because if you walk into that dirty house or you see a cockroach on the countertop, you call up Airbnb and you say, I don't want to rent this house anymore. You don't charge me, whatever. Nobody gets hurt other than the two people in the transaction. You drive a vehicle that you order from Turo or whoever else, and that wheel comes off, and there's a vehicle coming in the opposite direction at 55, 60 miles an hour, and somebody dies over that has nothing to do with that transaction, that's a different situation altogether.
But we don't know the details behind their security, behind how they're qualifying these vehicles.
They don't want to get in that business.
They
don't want to get in that business.
I don't think they want to get in
that business. Look, the thing is this. Is the consumer going to say, we want to align ourselves with the experts in the industry who know, or do we want to align ourselves with something that's easy to use? It's convenient. It works in my life. I mean, we're seeing this time and time again with many things that we should be at the table for, and we're not, because these apps come out, these programs come out, and okay, who's inspecting the vehicle? Well, the app players, they're in the business to make profit. This is what they do. I'm sure they legally, and from state to state, it's different. I think they had 17 states or something that, because the question
there's
came
15.
Up. 15 states. Yeah. And so are we really there having a conversation and influencing that? Again, I'm not picking on Turo. We were grateful to have them. Obviously, my thing is we need to be more of an alliance with these folks. Yeah. And the money's powerful.
Yeah.
The money's powerful.
No, that's why I made that suggestion. This is a perfect engagement party for a company like a Turo that gets together with an ASA that has the supply of the best shops in the country that says, let us be your partner in this.
Let us be your eyes and your ears for safety and reliability.
Yeah. what could be more powerful than a company that says, we're about the safety of your vehicle first and foremost, and the convenience of renting a vehicle from another partner. But in order for us to get you two together, we've got to make sure this is a safe transaction. Not just financially safe, but physically safe.
That was a sales pitch. Hey, Dave Johnson, who was the Director of Global Service Engineering Operations at Ford Customer Service Division, said that the internal combustion engine is not dead. Now, he says there's going to be pockets between urban and suburban areas. But one of the things that he mentioned was usage-based insurance. What do you guys think of that?
So does that look like a dongle, you know, in the vehicle that says, you know, the minute you're out of autonomy?
Yeah.
That you're going to be charged more because now
No, if you own an autonomous car, it's going to work 24 hours a day. You're going to do business with a Turo. The more it's on the road, the higher the risk. You're going to pay more. If you have a vehicle that's got X amount of miles and you're driving it only 10% of its life usage, which is what we all hear about, that you shouldn't have to pay the big bucks.
We had Robert Passmore, who is with American Property Casual. Yeah. Casualty Insurance Association, he had a lot of good things to say. One of the things I brought up in regards to insurance, and I think it's a game changer, and I've heard this being stated, you can see Elon Musk with Tesla now saying, hey, we're going to get into that business. I think eventually as these vehicles, and I don't think we're going to see it immediately. Like in my garage, I'm not too concerned about it. I mean, I'm looking at ADAS. We want to perfect 1234YF. We want to do all those things. But in the future, as you order the car and you want to piecemeal it, and I want to have this car for a couple of days, the insurance is going to be all bundled into it. It's going to be all part of the deal. I think eventually the lobbying power of these companies, and a lot of my insurance friends probably don't want to hear this, but they're going to be, that's another profit center for the insurance companies to play ball. And the consumers, really, it's just going to be like going to the grocery store. You're going to order everything. Boom, boom. It's all together. And it's like, why would I want to worry about who's going to insure it, register it? It's a terrible thing to say, but the reality of it is, and we all know this, these things are big, wasteful buckets on wheels. We don't use it but 10%, if that. My daughter, who's 10, she's getting hip to that because everything that she's being trained on is app-based. It's almost no ownership of anything.
Yeah,
I can borrow it.
A subscription.
Exactly.
Hey guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for the great update on ASA's TTF that was yesterday here in Detroit. Glad to have your perspective and your update, Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care. Beautiful facility.
It was wonderful having you guys.
Thanks for the hospitality.
And, props to the ASA for all. You know, I wanted this thing to be 10 times the size. And next year we're gonna reach out to the high schools and to the colleges, and get some of these kids thinking, because I think I would be really interested in seeing what they would have to say. If we do this again next year.
If we were blown away, what do you think they're going to look at?
Yeah.
Frank Lloyds from Desert Car Care and Wrench Nation, thanks for your input here, man.
My pleasure. Always good to hang with you guys.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.